From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, September 12th, 2016. Boy, oh boy, what a weekend it was in the world of sports. I know many of you out there, many of you Lions fans out there, are still recovering from one thrilling game at Lucas Oil Stadium out in Indianapolis. Only the second time that the Lions have won out in Indy, and they do it to open up the year in one memorable game. Okay, so of course, you know we have to recap it. And later on this hour, we will do that by inviting Mr. Justin Rogers to the show, Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit News. You do not want to miss that chat. We will also recap what took place on Saturday's college football action. Yeah, many storylines there, including Michigan moving to 2-0 on the year, as well as a crazy ending to the Chippewas winning yet another game. Yeah, and a few MAC officials have been suspended for the outcome of that game, all right? So you don't want to miss that. On the back end of the show, we will introduce you all to three of the newest Current Sports beat reporters. You don't want to miss that. We will introduce you all to them. That should be fun. And we will have weekend winners on the back end of the show. So, as we always say on each and every Monday's Current Sports, we've got a jam-packed show and our plate runneth over. So, hey, let's stop wasting time and get right to it. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the Detroit Lions, of course. The Lions look like they were repeating last season's week one collapse to the San Diego Chargers after blowing a 21-3 lead to the Colts on the road out in Indy yesterday. The Lions led the majority of the game until kicker Matt Prater put the extra point wide right. Late in the fourth quarter, Andrew Luck led the Colts down the field to take a 35-34 lead with less than a minute to go. But Matthew Stafford and the Lions rallied to give Prater a 43-yard shot at redemption. The game-winning drive gives Stafford 19 game-winning drives since 2011. That is tied for the most in the NFL with Tony Romo of my Dallas Cowboys. The Lions open the season 1-0, along with Green Bay and Minnesota in the NFC North, with the Chicago Bears as the lone team to fall. The up-and-down Detroit Tigers dropped a big weekend series against the Baltimore Orioles. Now, after winning Friday night's game to draw even with the Orioles for the second wild-card spot in the American League, Detroit's offense fell short on Saturday and Sunday to drop two games in back of Baltimore in the wild card and seven in back of Cleveland in the AL Central. Jordan Zimmerman, Jay-Z, made his return from the disabled list to start Saturday's game and promptly gave up six runs in just over an inning's work. Brad Ausmus has decided to skip Zimmerman's next start so he can get more simulated work in, but there's no word on who will take his spot in the rotation. It'll be Daniel Norris on the mound tonight as the D kicks off a four-game series at home against the Minnesota Twins. Michigan QB Wilton Spate was named as the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Week, becoming just the second quarterback in Michigan history to throw for seven TD passes throughout the first two games of a year. In their win over Central Florida, Spate was 25 of 37 passing for 312 yards and four touchdowns, helping Michigan completely cruise to a 51-14 dub. Defensive Player of the Week was Nathan Gary of Nebraska. The senior led the team with seven tackles and intercepted a pair of passes against Wyoming, leading the Huskers to a 52-17 win. This was the first Nebraska Defensive Player of the Week since Gary won it in December of 2014. after mistakenly allowing Central Michigan to convert on their miraculous last-second Hail Mary hook and ladder versus Oklahoma State. The MAC Conference, that's right, the Mid-American Conference, has announced that the 8-man officiating crew from Saturday's game will be suspended for 2 games. The crew awarded CMU one last untimed play from just about midfield. However, it was quickly made known after the game that the play should have never actually happened. The officials misapplied a rule, and the game should have ended when Oklahoma State took an intentional grounding to run out the clock on 4th and 13. The Big 12 has also announced the 2-person video replay crew that worked the same game will be suspended 2 games as well for their role in the mistake. We'll have more on that story in just a minute. Michigan State baseball head coach Jake Boss Jr. announced today that former Spartan Jonathan Roof will be joining the staff as a student assistant coach. Roof was a 3-year letter winner of the Spartans during his 3-year career at Michigan State University. Roof decided to forego his senior season after being drafted by the Texas Rangers in the 8th round of the 2010 MLB draft. He joins Jordan Kerr as the 2nd former Spartan currently on the baseball staff. Michigan State women's soccer defeated Detroit 2-0 this past Sunday, breaking their 2-game losing streak. The first goal was scored 21 minutes into the game by freshman Hannah Jones. This was her first career goal as a Spartan. Congratulations, Hannah. The Spartans did not allow a single shot on goal in the first half. The D managed 4 shots on goal in the second half, but MSU senior goaltender Caitlin Collin stopped them all. Then 70 minutes into the match, Jamie Cheslick was able to put it in the back of the Detroit net. MSU is now done with non-conference play and has their first conference matchup against Nebraska this week on Friday. The Michigan State men's golf team opened their season with the Gopher Invitational this past weekend. The team was led by 2 Michigan native senior Sam Weatherhead, who shot a total of 211 in 3 rounds of play, and sophomore Dylan Diogan, who shot a 212. MSU ended up finishing 3rd overall in the tournament. And last but certainly not least, after taking a nationally ranked Louisville team down to the wire, Michigan State field hockey lost 1-0 in overtime on Sunday afternoon. Louisville, who went into the contest ranked number 8 in the country, scored just 2 minutes into the overtime period. After the loss, Michigan State fell to 4-2 on the year, I should say. While the defeat was surely tough to swallow, it should offer head coach Helen Knoll some signs of hope as they get ready to head into Big Ten play this Friday against rival Michigan. Gotta love that. We'll have your Friday night high school football scores and a complete recap on Friday Night Football later on in the show. It's time for you all to call in and be a part of our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet us at AlMartinWKAR, or at the show's official Twitter handle of at WKAR_sports. So much to get to, so little time. It's about that time to start the show.
Touchdown for Amir Abdullah.
Following the penalty, off the fake to Abdullah, who has returned. This is Anquan Boldin. And Boldin takes it all the way down to the 26-yard line for a Lions first down. 3 wide receivers set. Stafford on first down. Backpedaling, throws. It's Riddick inside the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown. His 2nd of the game.
organized play design when you get down into the red zone. They've answered my question, how are you going to perform in the red zone without Calvin Johnson? This week, they have been excellent.
Right, he's the NFL record holder, 64-yard field goal for Denver. So Stafford of the Lions go to work, trailing by a point. Picking up a first down and more is Riddick. Ball is placed down, and Prater's kick from 43 yards out is good. The Lions go back on top with 4 seconds remaining.
And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. It is September 12th, 2016. And man, oh man, what a weekend it was in the sporting world. Now, before moving forward, of course, I would like just to take a moment here to reflect on Patriot Day, which occurred yesterday, of course, September 11th. Man, I can't believe it's been 15 years. Can you believe that? 15 years. September 11th is a day that will always be remembered for what took place out in New York with the terrorist attacks on the World Trade Centers. Of course, the Twin Towers. I'll never forget where I was. You know, I was in sixth grade in Ms. Hettner's English class. And, you know, throughout that entire day, this had to be like, we had 7 hours throughout the day. And I was in sixth hour in Ms. Hettner's class. And throughout the entire day, kids were constantly getting called out of school. And we didn't know what was going on. The teachers and the administration did a great job of shielding what was going on from us students, because they didn't want to invoke any mood of panic throughout the school day. But I remember I got called out of Ms. Hettner's class by my grandparents, my grandmother and grandfather. They brought me out of school, and I had no idea why. And on the walk to the car, they told me what had happened out in New York. And I really, you know, I was, what, sixth grade, so that had to be when I was about 12 or 13 years old. And I really didn't know what it meant until I got home to my grandparents' house and turned on the television and started to see the actual visuals of what had taken place that morning. But it is a day that will go down in history as one of the most riveting moments in our country's history. And it should be a day that reminds us all that we should appreciate each and every day we wake up with breath in our lungs and in our right minds, because tomorrow is never promised. And be proud to be an American, folks, because we live in the greatest country that there is. And sometimes we do take those freedoms for granted, but that is a day that we reflect, we remember those who sacrificed their lives and whose lives were lost in that moment, and we appreciate our lives presently and moving forward, folks. So if you want to call in and give a thought or a memory on Patriot Day, September 11th, please do so. Our phone lines are open, and they will stay open, of course, customarily, as they always do, all the way up until 2 p.m. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Now on to less important matters, of course, the world of sports. It was a fun weekend, folks. A fun weekend. I mean, of course, you had the opening official NFL Sunday taking place. How about those Lions? I'll get to them in just a second. On Saturday, you had a really nice slate of college football that took place. Heck, I even got a chance to watch some boxing. My boy Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, he was fantastic over the weekend. Well, I will say this: in comparison to his other fights, he could have been better. I will say that he was sick entering that fight, but another win for Triple G nonetheless. 23 straight knockouts. The dude has never lost in 30 plus fights. In my opinion, he's the best boxer in the world right now. But, and I'll get to that later on in weekend winners, all right? But I want to start, of course, with the Detroit Lions. Boy, oh boy. What a game it was, folks, as the Detroit Lions were able to go on the road and start the season with a win. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about what took place last year between the Lions and the San Diego Chargers. And I even, for those that follow me on social media, you know, on my Twitter page as well as my Facebook page, I had put out a status and put out a tweet that said, I'll read it live here on the air, actually. The status I put out, if I can find it here, come on, load. Okay, here we go. Quote, "I think we all know how this Lions/Colts game is going to end. We've seen this story far too often." And as soon as I sent out that message, I got a plethora of comments from many of you out there. Here's a message from Faith. "Be optimistic. A few minor setbacks." Deb, a dear friend of mine, says, "Unbelievable." My homie Twan says, "Blow it in the fourth. I hope not, Al." My former coworker at Channel 6 News, Matt Hall, he sent out a message to me that says, "You got to have faith, Al." And, you know, those messages just kept pouring in. And it was so interesting as I read these messages, as the Lions were able to combat that 18-point turnaround and get the lead in the fourth quarter, you know, you start to see a mixed amount of emotions there. And, you know, many people were positive when that moment happened as the Lions were able to score. And they said, "Oh, here we go, Al, what's up?" And then all of a sudden, Matt Prater goes out and misses the extra point. And then I said to myself, wait and see. The Indianapolis Colts, as they I bet you they drive on the very next possession and beat the Lions in heartbreaking fashion, in similar fashion that we saw last year's season opener against the San Diego Chargers. And it looked like I was going to be right for a second, because you saw Andrew Luck, you know, put together a solid drive and really test that leaky Detroit Lions secondary, and they go on to score, and they left the Lions with under a minute to try and pull off an improbable victory, to put them in field goal range and to try and put the game on the leg of Matt Prater, a guy whose confidence was already shot, you would think, right, after missing the extra point that really proved to be the difference maker in this game. But Matthew Stafford he was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, he really was unbelievable in that final drive, folks. And to be honest with you, Matthew Stafford was solid all day. I mean, when you look at his final numbers, 31 of 39 for 340 yards, 3 touchdowns. He had first half scoring drives of 80 yards, 82, and 75. He was absolutely fantastic. And when his team's back was against the wall, when he had given up the lead with only 1 minute, under 1 minute left to play, Matthew Stafford showed incredible leadership, poise, and confidence, which is what you want from a starting quarterback in the National Football League. He had 3 straight completions, and what I really loved, there was a moment that I've constantly been bringing up to those that I discussed this game with, and I brought it up on this morning's Current State with Mark Bayshore. Probably my favorite moment of the game was when Stafford, you know, he throws a completion to Marvin Jones Jr. on that final drive. And Jones doesn't get out of bounds. He stays in bounds, and the Lions have to burn a timeout. And the camera immediately pans to Matthew Stafford. And what do you see him do? Matthew Stafford is just giving it to Marvin Jones. I mean, giving him the blues, yelling at him to get out and pointing at his helmet saying, "You got to be smarter. You got to be smarter." I love that moment, because it shows that Matthew Stafford is a leader for this team. He's the guy. And, you know, he leads them down the field. Again, 3 straight completions. He puts the game back on the foot of Matt Prater, who, if he would have, again, if Matt Prater didn't have that in-game opportunity to win the game for the Lions, and if we, you know, if the Colts go on to win that game, in that last drive, we will be talking about that missed extra point right now on today's show. And we would completely be bashing Matthew Prater. I'm pretty sure some of our callers would call in and really give Prater the blues. But at the same time, you know, it's funny how sports are. We're so reactionary in the sports world. Prater is able to save himself due to Matthew Stafford putting together one heck of a drive. And Matthew Prater goes out there and redeems himself. Matthew Prater should be buying Matthew Stafford a real nice steak dinner somewhere this week. Because without that drive, Matt Prater would not be feeling too happy on this Monday afternoon. I tell you that. And, you know, it's so odd, though, for me, as that game began, it's still so odd to know that Calvin Megatron Johnson is no longer a part of the Honolulu Blue. To know that Calvin Johnson is now officially a retired NFL player. And coming into that game, you heard all this dialogue, you know, from Lions fans out there wondering whether or not Matthew Stafford will be able to cope with Calvin Johnson no longer being an imminent target for him. Matthew Stafford silenced the critics at least yesterday, folks. I mean, the way that he spread the football out to countless individuals, 8 different targets to be exact, was really surgical. It was really fun to watch, folks. And 31 of 39, I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy, folks. And, you know, you look at how the Lions gave up that 18-point lead. It was actually 21-3. And it was so eerie because it's exactly the same score in the first half as last year's season opener against the San Diego Chargers on the road. And what makes it even more eerie, I followed Tom Lydon, who's a former sports reporter and anchor for Channel 7 News in Detroit. And Tom pointed out on his Twitter page that, you know, again, it's the same score that we saw last year for the season opener for the Lions as they took on the Chargers. But also on that final TD to make it 21-3, if you remember, was an Eric Ebron touchdown. And that's exactly how it played out last year. Eric Ebron is the guy who made it 21-3. Eerie, right? Kind of crazy. But a different outcome for the Lions this year. Thank goodness, right? But it's just so odd not seeing Calvin Megatron Johnson out there. But at the same time, Matthew Stafford looked unfazed by it. He looked so comfortable in that game. We saw him make some big-time throws in big-time moments. We saw him extend plays by getting out of the pocket and using his feet. Matthew Stafford had a great game yesterday. Had a fantastic game. And how about, you know, the backfield, which I thought needs to get just as much of attention. Theo Riddick was great. Amir Abdullah, consistent. And Dwayne Washington, how about Dwayne even getting in for a touchdown? Absolutely fantastic. And if you remember, to bring this up, the Lions were the NFL's worst rushing team last year. We can't forget about that. Dead last in the NFL when it comes to rushing yards. They ran for 116 yards yesterday. And Theo Riddick, man, oh, man, can he see the football field or what? Theo is a combination of patience, power, and speed. You know, everything that you look for in a running back. He was great yesterday, Theo Riddick. And even when he went out, you know, when he ran to the locker room to have to be evaluated to see if he had a concussion, that's what I assumed. Then he comes back, it looks as though he's fine, and he goes out there and proves that he's fine. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic. I mean, he goes out, comes back in, and doesn't miss a beat. Theo Riddick is going to be, again, knock on wood, barring any injury, some sort of, you know, crazy injury, Theo Riddick is going to be a solid player for this Detroit Lions team in the backfield. And it's going to take a lot of pressure off of Matthew Stafford. He's going to make sure, you know, that's the thing about Matthew Stafford for me last year. Because, you know, you had such a poor running game that it put all of this pressure on Matthew Stafford to go out there and try and make plays happen with his arm each and every down. When you don't have a balanced attack offensively and you become one-dimensional, you become predictable against any defense that you face on any given Sunday. So you can't blame Matthew Stafford for what took place last year with the Detroit Lions. Simple as that, folks. And hey, I also want to give a big shout out to Jim Bob Cooter, because some of the plays that I saw called in yesterday's game were fantastic. Fantastic. Especially, you know, just go back and watch the tape of that final drive that put the Lions in position to win. It was very well executed, and Jim Bob Cooter did a great job of mixing it up the entire afternoon out in Indy. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. A fantastic game for the Detroit Lions, but one that could have very easily evoked a different tone on Monday if they would have lost. The problem isn't the offense here in my eyes, folks. The problem is that Detroit Lions defense. The secondary has to play better. The corners have to play better. The safeties have to play better because way too many times, Andrew Luck tested the respective corners of the Honolulu Blue, and they failed time and time again. And the big surprise for me when it comes to that secondary is Darius Slay. Stud. He's a stud in NFL. But Darius Slay got outworked yesterday by those Indianapolis Colts receivers. I must say, folks. Gotta play better, Darius. Gotta play better, secondary. Because despite a great Detroit Lions offense yesterday, that defense, that leaky defense from the Lions could have cost them the game. When it comes to Detroit Lions offensive line, you know, I gave a lot of credit to Theo Riddick, Amir Abdullah, Dwayne Washington as well. But that Detroit Lions offensive line opened up a lot of holes as well. The offensive line did a great job of getting just great push off the line of scrimmage. And they opened up some big holes that Riddick and Abdullah were just able to get through and just use their patience and athleticism to bust out for big yards. I thought it was great effort by them as well. So now the question, you know, because the Lions were underdogs in game one against the Colts. And now the question comes, you know, hey, what are realistic expectations for this team moving forward now? They have their home opener against the Tennessee Titans this upcoming Sunday. Then they have to go on the road to play the Green Bay Packers, which I think we will find out in week three when they play a legit Super Bowl contending team on the road. We will find out just how good this Detroit Lions team is. And I think in week three, that's when you really start to get your groove going. I really think we can make a fair assessment of where this team is in week three. Folks, what do you think, though? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Kurt from Grand Ledge on to talk about the Honolulu Blue. Kurt, what's up, my man?
Hold on, Al. I hear you talking about the Lions, so I had to try and get a call in.
Of course. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk about Matt Stafford, but first I want to mention something about the defense, and that is I was shocked at how mediocre their pass rush was in the second half, and I think that played a big part in exposing their secondary. Although, there was one play with Darius Slay, you called him out, and, you know, he was right in the guy's pocket. It was going to be a deep pass, and then I swear he tripped over his own feet.
He did.
And,
yep.
And flat out missed making the play. Fortunately, he got the guy on the ground, but it's like, what happened there? I don't understand.
He did, you know, and I actually on my DVR. Thank goodness for DVR. When I saw that play happen, I'm like, hold on, what just happened with Slay? Did he trip over the receiver's feet or did he trip over his own feet? And it looked like his foot just tripped over it just hit the turf in an awkward way, and he ends up a step behind the receiver, and the receiver catches the football for a big game. But those are the little things, Kurt. That cannot happen because it burned him countless times yesterday.
Well. Let me go back to Matt Stafford now and say the last drive where they drove down and got the field goal to win the game, I saw something out of Matt Stafford that I don't think I've seen up to this year, and that is him barking at players and stuff to get things right and do the right thing because Lord knows they were trying to be the same old Lions and not run out of bounds when they needed to and do different things. And he was getting all over people. And, you know, I got a feeling that now that Kelvin is retired and Ndamukong Suh is gone, all the personalities are gone and it's now his team. And now he feels it's okay for him to do that. And he's taking on more of a leadership role. What's your thought on that?
I totally agree. And that's where I was going when I went, because that was my favorite moment of the game, Kurt. When the camera showed Matthew Stafford completely chewing out his receiver for not going out of bounds in that moment and forcing his team. And it also helped that the Lions, I mean, they ended up with three timeouts on that final drive as well. So that helped out a lot when it came to clock management. But, you know, again, why go for those extra yards? You just get out of bounds, stop the clock, and, you know, the Lions can save a timeout. But I loved how Matthew Stafford turned to Marvin Jones and said, "What in the world are you doing?" He pointed at his helmet and said, "You got to use your head and get out. Get out." He kept saying that. I absolutely loved it. And I agree with you on that, Kurt. I think that, you know, Calvin Johnson being gone now, you know, and Sue now for the past 2 years now being absent from this team, Matthew Stafford knows that more so than ever in his Detroit Lions career, he has to be the leader. He has to be the guy. And he's not afraid to step in that role. And I think that moment kind of put that in perspective right there in that conversation.
Let's hope he can continue it and carry it on. So
we'll see.
I still think they're an 8-18, so we'll go from there.
Hey, I predict a 7-5 this year. So yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Kurt.
All right. Thanks, Al.
Thanks a lot, my man. Right now, before we hit our first break, I want to invite the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, hailing from the great New Orleans. Isaac. Isaac Constance now joins us. A tough weekend for your Saints, my man.
Yeah, it was very parallel in some ways to the Lions game in that one final drive really summarized everything else, and it negated all of the previous efforts. The only difference is it was the Lions who had the three timeouts, like you mentioned. They had the clock management game because we both know Drew Brees can lead a two-minute drive better than any quarterback in the league. The thing is, with no timeouts left, he really had to work the sidelines. Matthew Stafford did a great job knowing the clock, knowing his personnel, and knowing where to go. All of those passes were accurate, but not only that, they weren't risky. Mm-hmm. They weren't anything where you would have been like, gosh, if he misses that, this team loses. If he does any of that, all of them were safe passes over the middle. And it was a theory that I had going into this year. I wonder if Matthew Stafford will finally, and I say finally because in all his years as quarterback, I haven't seen it yet, develop a mid-range game. And by that, I mean a nice 15-yard, 20-yard consistent play for an in-route or a post for receivers. Mm-hmm. And that's why I saw yesterday, especially on the final drive, because without Calvin Johnson, Matthew Stafford needs to step up. And like Kurt said, also in the leadership role, Matthew Stafford did all you could have asked for and more yesterday.
You got that right. And hey, no turnovers. Not one turnover throughout that game for Matthew Stafford. A fantastic game. One of the best games I've seen Matthew Stafford play. So now the Detroit Lions will turn the page to the Tennessee Titans in the home opener, which will take place this Sunday. The Titans shut out the Vikings in the first half. Didn't give really Adrian Peterson anything. And I'm pretty sure many fantasy football owners of Peterson's were really weeping like myself based on his performance. 31 yards, 9 carries. Come on, son. Come on, dude.
Yeah, that's nothing. No Bridgewater either.
How about DeMarco Murray, though, and Marcus yep. Mariota for the Titans? That's going to be an interesting matchup. I think, you know, DeMarco Murray, formerly of my Dallas Cowboys, this is his third team in the past three years, Isaac.
Yep.
So, you know, he looked solid yesterday. I must say that. And Mariota, you know, those are guys that are really dynamic players. But at the same time, I think the Lions can start the year. And I don't think it's crazy to say this. I think they start the year 2-0 here, Isaac.
It's not bold at all. And I think the number one thing for the Lions will be this secondary has a chance to regrow following a abysmal showing against, you know,
gotta be
the
better.
Colts right here. Yeah.
Right.
So the Lions secondary will have the chance to grow. The Titans really don't have the receiving core that the Colts do. So we'll see about this one. But I think the Lions start 2-0 as well.
Well, I tell you what, a man who knows the Detroit Lions pretty well is Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit News. We'll get him on the line after our first break. Again, call in if you want to be a part of today's Current Sports, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Of course, we have been talking about the Detroit Lions as they pick up a thrilling win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Man, oh man, that was a fun game to watch. A fun game to watch, folks. And we now invite a man who got to see that game pretty up close and personal. His name is Justin Rogers. That's right, Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit News. Justin now joins us to break down what went right for the Lions. Justin, how you doing? Welcome to Current Sports.
I'm doing well. It was fun to watch. It wasn't too fun on deadline, but fun to watch.
I'm sure. Yeah, it's never fun when you're working, though. I tell you that. You have to pump out a story, right, Justin? But first off, when watching that game, you know, because, you know, when watching it out, I put out a tweet, Justin, and I said, hey, we've seen this same story before, you know, and especially when the Lions, they had given up an 18-point lead, you know, eerily similar to what happened in last year's season opener against the San Diego Chargers. I mean, what went through your mind when you saw this game sort of, you know, change guards in the second half?
Well, I've covered this team for a long time, and you're right. It was almost identical. I mean, it was the same 21-3 lead. It was 21-10 at halftime in both games, and the Colts came out and got the first score in the third quarter, and you're looking at another game that the Lions are potentially letting slip away. And I mean, that's kind of been the story of this franchise, for better or worse, unfortunately. They've let so many games slip through their fingers in so many goofy ways, games they should have won. So, I don't know, you almost start to expect it, and you wonder, you know, do the players start expecting it? Do they beat themselves up with their self-confidence? And being on the road even more so, you expect it to be, slip away.
What's your analysis of that Detroit Lions offense, Justin? Because, you know, when you look at the numbers for Matthew Stafford in particular here, I mean, 31 of 39, 340 yards, three touchdowns. What did you think about what the Lions were able to do offensively?
You know, what I really liked is they put together five lengthy scoring drives. You're talking 70 or more yards. That's extraordinary efficiency at the professional level. You don't even see that in college football very much because it's a lot of big play scoring. So to see five long drives like that with a very balanced attack with, I think, eight different receivers getting involved, most of those guys having multiple catches with the running backs running in a very efficient clip, I mean, it was really an ideal performance. You know, it wasn't mistake-free, but the penalties weren't too bad. The offensive line played well. There was zero turnovers. And, again, all done on the road in a hostile environment. So, yeah, the Colts were a little banged up coming to this one, and they got even more banged up during the game. They were down six defensive backs total. But you can only play who's in front of you, and you know, this is a game where the Lions' offense played about as well as they could have played.
Yeah, I think that's a good point you make, Justin, about the you know, how the Colts were beaten up when it comes to their respective secondary. Now, when you again, of course, a big storyline coming into this year is the absence of Calvin Johnson deciding to walk away from the game of football and just retire. And I'm curious to know if you saw anything schematically different from what the Lions have usually done with Megatron in the lineup, as opposed to what you saw yesterday as the Lions took on the Colts. What do you think about what ways is this offense different with Calvin not being there?
You know, I think the biggest difference is not so much the Lions offense, but it's the way opposing defenses play them. It's more of a straight up traditional brand of defense. You know, when you see Calvin Johnson and the way these coordinators would scheme up against him, there was a lot of exotic double teams, a lot of slanted coverages that would open up one side of the field for someone else to do the work, where, you know, Calvin was always having to fight through, you know, coverages normal receivers didn't see. You know, not to say that there's not good players still on the roster. I think what they've done now is they've established a wealth of above average players: Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, Eric Ebron, Theo Riddick. None of them are superstars, but they're all good players. And so now there's just so many weapons, so many different ways to go, and they all kind of do their own little thing, and they do their own little thing well. Golden Tate and Theo Riddick operate really well on those short passes and making tacklers miss. Marvin Jones, I keep telling people, the guy's a deep threat, and you kind of finally saw it a little bit in this first game. So there's a versatility to this offense that I think is exciting, but the run game is the key. We saw a great rushing attack with both Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick combining for over 100 yards rushing. All three running backs got into the end zone, whether it was a run or a catch. And so if they can maintain any kind of run game where they can even average, you know, close to 4 to 4.2 yards per carry over the course of the season, the offense is going to be all right.
And you know, Justin, I always say you got to have a balanced attack offensively if you want to have success in the NFL. And, of course, last year with the Lions were the NFL's worst rushing team last year. Theo Riddick and Ameer Abdullah really turned a lot of heads for a lot of people out there. What allowed them to have the games that they had yesterday?
Oh, there was certainly improved blocking. You know, you saw more run lanes. If you look at, like, the Lions' run game last year when they really struggled with Bell and Abdullah, the run lanes weren't there. Those guys were getting hit in the backfield a lot. And, yeah, there's a responsibility for the running back to make guys miss. But if he's getting hit in the backfield 50% of the time, you're just not going to have a successful ground game. So it starts with the offensive line. They opened up holes. And then, two, those guys made tacklers miss. You know, that's their job. Once the hole's there, they've got to make a guy miss. And both of them showed elusivity, you know. And you knew Ameer Abdullah had it. You saw it last year. You saw the way he closed out last season, averaged nearly 5 yards a carry those final eight games, looked really good doing it, has big playability. You have not seen it with Theo Riddick his entire career. The guy's been an exceptional receiver out of the backfield. There's no one that's questioning that. But as a ball carrier, he was averaging about 3 yards per carry for his first three seasons. Yeah, the sample size wasn't huge, but it didn't merit a larger sample size because he wasn't taking advantage of the opportunities he was getting. Yesterday, he took advantage of the opportunities he got. He's gotten clearly better there. That elusiveness that he's shown in the passing game carried over to the run game with the holes he was getting. And again, if that can carry forward, the Lions' offense is going to be pretty good.
I agree with you. Folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit News. Justin, but, you know, there was a glaring hole in the boat for the Lions yesterday, and, of course, that Detroit Lions secondary is going to have to get better. How would you grade that secondary yesterday, and how do they go about getting better as they move on to a Week 2 matchup against the Tennessee Titans at home?
It wasn't very good. I mean, there's no other way to put it. You know, I don't know if I'd give it a failing grade, but you know, it would definitely be down there toward that. But I also would put a lot of that on the pass rush. You know, Andrew Luck was not pressured enough in this game, and he's one of the best quarterbacks in the game with a clean pocket. You know, I know he doesn't always get mentioned in the upper echelon tier of quarterbacks, but when healthy, there are very few quarterbacks that can make the throws Andrew Luck can make. So he had a lot of time in the pocket yesterday. The only one that really got any pressure on him was Kerry Hyder, a rotational defensive end that played about 20 of the 70 snaps. And if that's going to be the case, you know, you need your guys, you need your Haloti Ngatas and your Ezekiel Ansahs of the world to get more steady pressure. It doesn't have to be sacks, but it has to be moving that quarterback off his spot where he's comfortable and can plant his feet, square his shoulders, and deliver a clean throw. And yeah, the secondary has to play better too. As Jim Caldwell, the coach, likes to say, you got to play complementary football. Both those things had to be working in concert to be effective as a defense. And yesterday, both of them were struggling.
Justin, what are realistic expectations for this Detroit Lions team?
I think playoffs are realistic, and really competing in the NFC North is realistic. Will they? You know, I don't know. You know, football is a game of bounces. You look at the scores yesterday. There were seven games where the team that led in the first quarter came back or was trailing in the first quarter, came back and won. You saw a lot of one-score games, a lot of fluky games. The NFL is just a weird game week to week. But if you look at the Lions' schedule and you lay it out and you get way ahead of yourself and you look at all 16 games, it's favorable. They don't have any fluky long road trips. They get Green Bay and Chicago out of the way early when the weather's nice in those cities. A lot of young quarterbacks, first-year coaches, teams that are expected to struggle this year. You know, you can look at it easily and see 10 wins on paper if the bounces go the Lions' way. You know, I predicted it out game by game, and I came up with 8-8. You know, it's a safe pick. It's sometimes easy to say that, but, you know, anywhere in the range of 6-10 and 10-6 is possible with the team, depending on how the breaks go and how that defense gels.
So with that being said, of course, they open up, you know, things at home against the Tennessee Titans this weekend. Sort of give us a preview of how that game really lays out for the Lions. And do you see them, you know, moving to 2-0 as they hit the road in week three to take on the Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, that's the Tennessee Titans are a great example of what I'm talking about. It's a team with a young quarterback that's still kind of gelling. You know, I think Marcus Mariota is going to be a special player in this league long term, but He doesn't have a lot of weapons. His number one receiver is a rookie that, you know, had a fine game against Minnesota, but again, it's a rookie. He's going to be inconsistent naturally. Their defense, their secondary has been bad for a few years. They might be a little bit better this year, but again, I expect the offense to have a lot of success against these Titans, and I think it's a game the Lions really should win. One, you should win your home games in general, but you should definitely win your home games when the competition is inferior. I think emotions will be running high with the Ford Field crowd for the season opener. People are going to be excited after that first game, 1-0, and I think 2-0 is really realistic.
Certainly looking forward to it. Justin, before I get you out of here, I want to go back to Theo Riddick just briefly here, because I know he went off the field on Sunday's game and then came back in. Is he any injury update as far as that concerned? And what was that moment about? I know he just went in for a brain checkup or something like that.
He did, yeah. He took a head-to-head hit in the third quarter, and he got up right away and went to the sidelines on that play. It didn't appear there was anything wrong, but apparently there was enough residual concern, whatever symptoms he was displaying on the sideline, that they wanted to further evaluate him for a concussion. The fact that he was returned to the game means that he was cleared by the independent NFL doctors, and you know there should be no long-term concern. But then again, I mean, brain injuries are tricky. You know, concussions are tricky. I've seen players come back and then have the symptoms recur later in the week. I don't expect it to happen with Riddick, but you know, I certainly couldn't guarantee it because the brain's a really tricky part of the body to evaluate.
Justin Rogers, the one and the only Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit News. Justin, how can folks out there read your work, and what do you have cooking as far as any Lions storylines to expect in this week's paper?
Well, you can read my work over at the Detroit News website, DetroitNews.com. I'm also on Twitter at Justin_Rogers. And what's cooking is everything. I mean, that's just the way it works on the beat now. you can't leave any stone unturned. You know, we typically put out about 4 or 5 stories a day. I'll probably take tomorrow and look back at the film and try to break down some specifics of why things went right or why things went wrong. You know, people really like that because it gets into the nuts and bolts. So if you're looking into that or you're into that kind of stuff, then, you know, check out the Detroit News tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you what, Justin, you're doing a fantastic job and you got a fan here, my man. Thanks a lot for coming on this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we will introduce you to our three new current sports beat reporters. We will also have a wrap-up from the Michigan and UCF game, as well as the crazy and quacky CMU win from this past Saturday as well. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Justin Rogers, Detroit Lions beat writer for the Detroit News, as Justin was in the house out in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium to, of course, cover that Detroit Lions thrilling season-opening win over the Colts. Again, the Lions now move on to a Week 2 matchup on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. I tell you what, Isaac, it was a fun weekend of NFL football, and I don't even want to ask, and I'm pretty sure our listeners don't even care about how our fantasy teams are doing. But at the same time, you know, I want to talk about what occurred on Saturday as well, because there was a crazy slate of college football games as well. Michigan, I'm going to say, it looks good right now, even though they're playing lollipops right now.
Yeah.
Michigan is doing what they're supposed to be doing, playing against teams like, you know, UCF, all right? Walton Spate, as I mentioned in our headliners, he has been named as the offensive player of the week in the Big Ten Conference. But, you know, there was another crazy game. Well, the UCF and Michigan game wasn't crazy. I mean, again, it was just entertaining to watch that Michigan offense go to work. But the CMU game was nuts. Can we just play the call of that game really briefly?
He's in a shotgun. Three players lined up essentially by the goal line. Rush. Stepping up, throwing to Kroll, catches the lateral. Here comes Willis. Willis racing to the end zone. Touchdown! Unbelievable! Central Michigan does it!
Absolutely insane in the membrane. The Mid-American Conference, though, says that the 8-man officiating crew that completely botched the end of the Central Michigan-Oklahoma State game has been suspended for 2 games. And the Big 12 announced Saturday that the two-person video replay crew that worked that same game that had an opportunity to say, hey, you guys screwed this up. Let's go back and look at this. They have also been suspended for 2 games. Officials mistakenly gave CMU an untimed final play from midfield after OK State was penalized for intentionally grounding while trying to run off the last 4 seconds of the fourth quarter with a 3-point lead. On that play, the Chip scored a touchdown on a long pass and a lateral to win 30-27. And the referee admitted afterward that an error was made by extending the game after a loss of down penalty. One of the craziest finishes I have ever seen in any football game, let alone college football. And I think that the right decision was made here. I mean, this was a clear blunder. And in the world of college football today, folks, every game means so much because essentially, I mean, if you have a loss like like Oklahoma State had this past weekend, and you're trying to compete for the college football playoff or a Big Bowl upper echelon game, that can hurt you. That loss can hurt you. So the right move was made here. I'm sure that there are many OK State fans out there just wishing that they can go back and overturn the outcome of it, because OK State should have won that wild and wacky game, folks.
But I have to say, though, Al, I mean, just jumping in.
No, go ahead.
The Detroit Lions had a similar situation against the Green Bay Packers with the Aaron Rodgers face mask call and all of that. It doesn't excuse giving up a Hail Mary or a hook and ladder or whatever sort of weird combination CMU threw at Oklahoma State. The fact is, you still have a responsibility to play the following play. And Oklahoma State lost themselves this game. CMU won it, but at the same time, Oklahoma State should not have permitted a Hail Mary hook and ladder be effective.
I hear where you're going with that, Isaac. I totally get it. Crazy, crazy play, right, that you should not give up. But at the same time, just imagine the emotions that OK State players go through in that moment. They're thinking the game is over. You know, the quarterback throws it away. 4 seconds riddle off. You see zeros on the board. The coaching staff is getting ready to walk on the field. Then all of a sudden they say, no, we got one more play left. I mean, nuts. I mean, that's one of those plays you just can't predict. It happened. It's sports. That's why you got to love sports, man. And hey, big shout out to Lansing's own Cooper Rush, who has been involved in some just redonkulous plays throughout his Chippewa football career.
Within
Am I right?
Span of 6 months.
Oh,
gosh.
My goodness. I can't wait to have Cooper on the show soon. He's slated to come on within the next 2 weeks, so I'm excited to have him on the show. All right, 5 minutes left in the show, and I would be remiss if I did not get to this before we get off the air here. But I tell you what, folks, it's exciting for me anytime I get the chance to bring along a new batch of sports reporters from the Journalism 418 class from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences here at Michigan State University. They help semester in and semester out on our content here on Current Sports Radio and Television. And for 3 of them, this is their official first day working on Current Sports Radio. So we have Ashley Gibbard, Kamen Kessler, and Jonathan Chun that now join me on the air to talk about what they have cooking for all of our Current Sports listeners and viewers out there. First off, what's up, guys?
Hi.
How's it going, Al?
Everybody good?
I'm good.
Now, I want to start from my left, your right, across the table here. And I want to start with Ashley. Just introduce yourself to the people. Tell them where you're from, what year you are at MSU, and what will you be covering for us here at Current Sports?
All right. Hi, guys. I'm Ashley Gibbard. I'm a senior here at MSU, and I will be covering East Lansing High School sports.
Fantastic stuff. Jonathan.
I'm Jonathan. A lot of people call me JT. I'm from Rochester, and I'll be covering Oak Miss High School.
Okay.
Kamen. And I'm Kamen. I'm from Dallas, Texas. I'm a senior here, and don't be fooled by me being from the South, I'm a big hockey guy. I'll be covering the club hockey team here at MSU.
So I was joking with Kamen before the show, Isaac. I think Kamen may be our next Jason Ruff, who, by the way, stopped in before the show today. So we're always looking for more hockey talk on the show. So thanks so much, guys, for coming on. And before we get you out of here, I'm always curious to ask this question as well, because I'm not too far removed from college. I graduated in May of 2012 with the dream of really, you know, just stepping into this industry and making my own mark, you know? So I'm curious to know, how did you guys even what piqued your interest, I should say, in the world of sports reporting or sports broadcasting? Ashley?
For me, it was Erin Andrews. I'm really interested in her career, and I really want to do anything in football.
Gotta love that. So you're a big gridiron.
Yes.
Person. All right, Jonathan.
Well, for me, I've always loved sports, but I was never too athletically inclined. So
as like most sports reporters, right?
So I started, you know, writing my blogs, and then kind of just fell in love with the storytelling aspect of it, and you know, now I'm just mixing those two passions.
Nice. Gotta love that. And Kamen.
And similar to Jonathan, I've always had a love of sports, and since I've been growing up, I used to mute games as a kid and do commentary myself for them and everything, so that's what I'm aspiring to do. Is I just love, you know, talking to people, talking about sports, and just watching sports in general. So for me, it's just kind of putting together my passions.
And just a wild guess, Kamen, I'm assuming when you put those games on mute, I'm assuming those were hockey games.
Oh, of course.
How did I guess? All right, again, Ashley Gibbard, Kamen Kessler, and Jonathan Chun. Thanks so much, guys, and we look forward to your work throughout this semester. All right, well, we do have a caller online, too. It's got to be quick, though. We only got 2 minutes left, and I know he's always a fun caller anytime we have him on. It's our dear friend, Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing?
Skipper, the National Football League couldn't ask for a greater first week. 4 games decided by 1 point, 3 games by 2 points. The closest in the history in the NFL history.
How fun was that, right? Exactly. I mean, history was certainly made on the very first NFL Sunday of the year here. And,
hey, I was watching the Bullies, too, and Harbaugh was bragging about how he called Bill Belichick up and begged him to find him a defensive coordinator. See, I told you he was shady. He's already getting the cheating rules for Bill Belichick, and Brady's coming in this Saturday for the Colorado game to inflate the footballs for him.
Oh, my goodness. I knew you were going there, Ray. It never fails. The one, the only, Ray from Indiana. Ray, call back tomorrow. We appreciate the call, my friend.
All right, buddy.
All right, 1 minute left, folks. We are out of time. Quick weekend winter, Isaac. Do you have anybody on your mind?
Usually I think of them when you do them. So, actually, if I had to, I would say, I'm forgetting the guy's name. What's the Florida State's receiver name?
Florida.
Did you see that story? It was one of the best stories of the year.
I didn't see it.
But anyway, this receiver, I'll bring it to you tomorrow. He sat down with an autistic kid at a lunch table unknowingly and really developed a close bond with this guy as the start of the year has gone on, and the kids got the chance to go on the sideline and visit practices firsthand, all of that. Great story. I'll bring the name tomorrow.
Please do. And mine, of course, is Triple G, Gennady Golovkin, stopping Kell Brook in the middleweight battle. All right, folks, we are out of time. Same time, same place tomorrow. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic afternoon. And be easy, people.